Well, I think there are a few things that convey a sense of place, a time of day, and season more than the comings and goings of our birds here in this state and elsewhere as well. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today is Laura Erickson. She is an experienced and passionate birder. She has authored many books. She brought along Pip, her birding dog as well, although is that a birding dog in the sense that Pip's not going to go out there and point birds?
She actually notices a shocking number of birds compared to what you'd think. Yeah, I've never had a dog, including our golden retriever and our Springer Spaniel, who paid attention to birds the way she does.
Well, she pays attention to birds, and Laura does as well. She's the author of 8 bird books, actually. Served as editor of BirdScope magazine and for the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. She's worked and really happy to answer your birding questions, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And you can also post on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show, so that's where you can go. And as a matter of fact, Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer and regular producer, has taken a photo of Laura and Pip with her smartphone, and I believe she's, as we speak, posting it up on our Facebook page. So if you want to see Laura, and if you want to see the most adorable, well, Laura's adorable too, but Pip is pretty adorable as dogs go. I'll tell you that for free. Well, again, it's great to have you back. I'm looking at my bird feeders right now, and I'm seeing house sparrows. Even though there aren't as many as there used to be, there's still the birds that take over most of the action right now anyway.
Yeah, it's been quiet because we have pretty ideal, not ideal for winter, but right now birds can get plenty of natural
plenty of food.
I'm seeing lots and lots of redpolls, but hardly any at feeders. Driving down from Duluth yesterday, I was seeing snow buntings along Highway 53 and bald eagles, but those aren't feeder birds.
I had a cardinal yesterday. I had one cardinal, and that was kind of a surprise because normally I don't see cardinals this time of year.
Yeah, they're not migratory, but they go to places where they can be assured of having as much natural food as they can, and they like dense tangles. But they explore, and when the weather's fairly balmy, a lot of birds like to explore to find any new places that they can count on if something bad happens where they're used to being.
Well, I tell you what, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234 once again, and guess what? I am not surprised at all. Every one of our lines is filled, so let's go to the phones and see what's on Ellen's mind from Janesville. Hi, Ellen. Thanks for calling. Oh.
Two Saturdays ago, it was very nice out, about 40 degrees, and a bunch of sandhill cranes were heading north to south, and they seemed to be circling above a soybean field near our house, making a ton of noise. And then they were joined by another flock heading south, and then they all took off and just went south. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, typical behavior, and do they exhibit that type of behavior when they head back north? And also, when do you recommend the best time to hit North Platte to see them all? And thanks so much for your time, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks a lot.
Cranes are extraordinarily sociable. They just love hanging out with other cranes, and they pay attention to each other. And we don't know what they're talking about, but they're looking for food. And since snow isn't covering the soybean and corn fields, they can still be eating here and minimize how much they have to travel this year, assuming, you know. But they're flexible, and they will move south if we get the snow. To go down to Nebraska along the Platte, the ideal month is March. And any time during March, you're going to see bazillions of cranes.
Yeah.
The trick is, if you want to see a bazillion snow geese, too, because they're down in the same fields, then just go down there at the first half of March. The snow geese are leaving. Each pair of cranes will stick around for about a month fattening up before they head on to their breeding grounds. If you go at the second half of the month, you're not going to see nearly as many snow geese, but man, you're going to see cranes dancing because as their fat is building up, they're getting more and more hormonal.
They're getting amorous.
And that, you know, anniversary time, they just all get Twitter painted all over again.
That was a great question. Thank you so much for that. Steve in Grafton has a question too, so let's go there. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
This past summer, I had the pleasure of watching a pair of pileated woodpeckers from excavation of the nesting cavity in a beech tree to the fledging of the young.
Oh, wow.
It was fun. And I'm wondering about the possibility of them reusing the nesting site.
It's not really likely. They will often use the same cavity as a roost hole for the adults when they need a place to sleep. But they do, part of their whole courtship is excavating the hole. And they like making sure it's fresh because they don't, you know, when it's fresh, they don't have to worry about parasites or stuff.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You know, in your book, you have the Into the Nest, which we interviewed you about at one point, Laura. I remember a great photograph of inside
the downy woodpecker nest.
The downy woodpecker nest.
Yeah, those photographs, which I did not take, are astonishing.
Amazing
because,
photos.
Because, you know, we see the hole on the outside, but it's a whole little apartment inside, a whole one-room efficiency apartment for those babies to be raised. And it's astonishing how big that, space inside the tree is.
Yeah, and it was amazing how the photography was absolutely amazing as well. That's Laura's book, Into the Nest, Family Lives of Familiar Birds, and I really loved that photo. Really loved it. We have Edie and Baraboo. Hi, Edie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was wondering if you have any idea and timeline when the tundra swans will start migrating.
Well, they're here right now still. There's still quite a few out there on the river. They're supposed to head out to the, Chesapeake Bay, and they probably normally would be gone by now, but we're having a pretty mild season. In spring, they come back as the water is, getting nice and open, and they can count on open water for feeding. But they should be gone now.
So the best place to see them would be down in, like, Brownsville, Minnesota?
And the whole, La Crosse, Trempealeau area along Alma, okay. Along, the rivers.
Okay. And then one other thing, do they stay there pretty much all day, or do they go out and feed and then come back on the river at night, or when's the best time of day?
Every time I've gone, I've seen them on the river, but they probably do go out to feed on fields, too. The best way to know exactly where to be looking for them is to go to ebird.com and go to the, they have a button on the top for, I can't remember the name of it. I hit it all the time, but I forgot it. But it's for exploring data, and put in tundra swan in Wisconsin, and you'll see every place where they've been reported in the last month, and you could see which are the most recent and exactly where. So that's ebird.org.
Mm-hmm. Oh, .org or .com?
I think it'll take you there no matter what. But that's Cornell's Lab of Ornithology runs that, and they do an amazing job.
Amazing. Thanks, Edie.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call very, very much. Talking today with Laura Erickson, getting a birding update, and we'll talk about some digital bird song hearing aids as well with Laura as we move along today. You'll be able to join in at 800-642-1234. And, when I think about birds in the Madison area, I think about The guy that's called the Birdman of Wisconsin Public Radio, Rob Ferret, who is well known by everybody for his birding acumen. And he's with us today to help me tell you that it's your time to contribute. Your financial support is the foundation of for all the great discussions you enjoy in the Ideas Network every day. So I hope you'll make your gift now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. And Rob, welcome.
Thank you, Larry. And it's true. I am able to successfully identify a bird as a bird almost 100% of the time. Not necessarily what kind of bird, but I can... Oh, two wings?
You're close.
There's a beak. I'm thinking bird.
I'm thinking bird. And what, wings, too.
Well, here's one thing I can correctly identify. We had 31 new and returning members make pledges last hour, which is fantastic.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your support. And great news here, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going right now, up to $2,500. It's a generous match from anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle, one member, actually, of the 9XM Leadership Circle from AMRO, means that that donor is going to match every dollar you give this hour up to that amount.
It's a way of encouraging you to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, so I hope you're going to be able to double your support for the programs you love, so I hope you will give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Now, why I love the Larry Miller Show, why you love it too, from 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and politics, important stuff. We cover that a lot on the Ideas Network. We take some time to look at advice topics, the outdoors, interesting things going on at the university and in the state, health issues, finances, and the natural world, including today's conversation with Pip and her bird expert, Laura Erickson.
And I heard, if you thought my stomach was grumbling earlier, no, it was just Pip.
That was Pip. Yeah.
It was really Pip. And he's part of that secret ingredient for our winning support, because he supports Wisconsin Public Radio. The recipe for winning involves you as well. Listener support, your support. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's the holiday season. You might be thinking of giving anyway. Well, when you make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio during this drive, you can have an extra gift on top of that. Ask for food for 20. When you give $60 or more, or food for $40 if you give $120, that means your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like being able to learn both about the state and the nation.
I love the Saturday lineup.
I like the music. I like the news.
We love the coverage of Wisconsin news and politics.
I really like to know what's going on in the world.
And I love the political discussion.
I like listening to WPR because I learn so much.
You know what? I learn a lot, too. And I bet you learn a lot, too, as you listen. I hope you'll go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Miller here with Rob Ferret, asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, it's 10 or 15 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And that amount is doubled thanks to the challenge match we have going on right now. Sustaining members provide huge amounts of support, stable support for WPR. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much for that ongoing support. If you're not a sustainer yet, check it out. Become one right now.
Absolutely. As a sustainer, you make automatic monthly deductions from your bank account or maybe from your credit card. That support automatically renews every year. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552, and you'll feel really pretty good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
We all value the beautiful environment, the natural resources we have here, our parks, our forests, our rivers, our wildlife, our birds, some of the best things about living in this state.
And we like to think of WPR as a natural resource as well. It's something that's available to everybody, something that's fundamental to living in Wisconsin. With your pledge, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. Contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I like to think we live in a generous place, a generous state here. People who are quick to help a neighbor in need. If we ever get snow, we're there to push that car out of the snow for a neighbor or a stranger, for that matter. And we chip in. We chip in for good causes.
Yeah, I hope we can continue that tradition of a generous society, and you'll be doing it when you support WPR right now. If you've never given before, you can become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 or $10 a month. The amount's really up to you.
You might be wondering how much to give. Remember, however much you give, it's doubled right now thanks to that challenge match. Otherwise, you get to pick the amount, and your contribution of any amount gets turned into the Larry Mueller Show and all the other programs you enjoy, things that are going to keep you informed and entertained all through the year.
So make your pledge any amount right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and when you do, you're playing an essential part in funding the programs you count on every day.
Remember, that dollar-for-dollar match goes all hour or until we hit that $2,500 amount. Just a couple hundred dollars toward that right now. That means your pledge is doubled while that is still in effect. That means right now, make that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this holiday season, I hope you support the radio you love. And you can give something extra. Ask for the Food for 20 program when you give $5 a month, or the Food for 40 when you give $10 a month. That's at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. And thanks if you've already contributed. Right now, we're talking about birds with our guest, Laura Erickson, and she knows a lot about birds. She's authored 8 bird books, served as editor of Bird Scope magazine, among other things, been very involved and worked with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. You can join in if you have a birding question or maybe an experience to share. We always love those as well. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Bill in Wrightstown's been waiting a while, so let's go to Bill. Thank you so much for waiting, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for having me. This is kind of not the right season for it, but a few years ago I did a project with my students on bluebirds, and we built bluebird boxes, and I did some research, and I actually did some surveys, or at least one survey of one of the environmental centers in the area. But one of the things I've noticed about people put up bluebird houses many times when I'm driving around is that they seem like more the merrier. They'll pack a bunch of them together in one area, and my understanding is that they should be about 100 yards apart. And when I did a survey of the environmental center near Green Bay, I checked out approximately 30 bluebird nest boxes, and only one of them had bluebirds in it. All the rest were either really close together or they were getting overrun with brush.
Yeah.
And then there's another environmental center that I walk. They've got all kinds of bluebird houses, most of them jammed together, close together, and I've never seen a bluebird. I just like maybe here to make a comment, maybe...
Mm-hmm.
Say something about that, and because I think a lot of bluebird boxes are not
properly done, and sometimes not built to proper specifications either. But Laura, a comment?
Yeah, because if you build too many bluebird houses, it's fine if tree swallows are moving into them. They make a wonderful homes mm-hmm. for tree swallows too. But if people aren't being careful about monitoring them and making sure that they're in the right places and making sure the brush isn't building up beneath them, because that's an invitation to house wrens, then house sparrows move in. And house sparrows, I mean, I like them, but they're not native, and they are very dangerous to native birds. So whether you like them or not, you should not be subsidizing them in your bluebird houses. So it's, and this is actually an excellent time of year to be bringing up bluebirds, because mm-hmm. it's in winter that people work with their grandkids or their students yeah. or people to build bluebird houses. And it's important to build them with the proper sized hole, and it's important to it can be actually a good idea to build them in pairs, you know, like one mm-hmm. fence post apart, so that tree swallows, if they take one, will use their territorial drive to chase other tree swallows out of the other one, but they'll leave the bluebirds alone. But yeah, you don't want them in too big of a, it's sort of a waste, but it's also an invitation to house sparrows to have too many.
You know, a couple of places where I've seen a lot of bluebirds is at the Portage Country Club, which is a golf course, and the University Ridge Golf Course, where they've done a marvelous job of building, installing bluebird houses and doing it in a proper way. And it really is a delight to see all those birds.
You can get a lot of information about bluebirds. Do a Google search on the North American Bluebird Society, and they have all kinds of information about dealing with habitat, and they deal with all three species of bluebirds. But here in Wisconsin, we only need to worry about the eastern bluebird.
There we go. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. Linda in Ashland, it's your turn next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. See, I've lived in Ashland here for about 5 or 6 years, and in the spring we used to see a huge flock of swans at the mouth of the river on the east side of town, and I mean like about 60 swans, and now we don't have any, and I'm just wondering if could shed any light on what happened to our swans.
I'm not sure. The big flocks of swans that we get, the migratory flocks, are tundra swans, which the older bird books called whistling swans.
Yeah.
In Ashland, there was a longstanding small population of mute swans, and the DNR has tried to, you know, make those die out because with the reintroduction of the trumpeter swans, that's become an issue. The overall population of tundra swans has declined, but I'm not sure why they'd be avoiding Ashland, so I'm not quite sure. Ryan Brady in Ashland would, I'm sure, have a lot of insight about that.
Maybe Ryan's listening.
Yeah, Ryan,
hey, give us a call. Give us a call. And Linda, in the meantime, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or comment, easy to do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. Laura, you recently wrote an article for Birding Magazine, I believe, about hearing aids for birding, and it's called Cedar Waxwings.
I can't hear them.
I can't hear them. Oh, man. When did you know that you needed hearing aids?
Well, I've been noticing that I don't hear as many LeConte sparrows as I used to. And I actually went a couple of years not hearing them at all. And naturally, you assume that the LeConte sparrows are disappearing. But I produce my own little radio program, and one day I noticed when I was mixing in the Cedar Waxwing recording,
yeah,
the whole middle section
disappeared.
Oh. It was like, oh no. And that's when I had to face it. I needed hearing aids. And digital ones do not make anything louder except in the frequencies that you've lost. They're programmed individually for people.
Oh, boy.
And my audiologist, I have a brand, they allow you to have one personal setting, and so she set that to boost even more the highest frequency sounds. And it has improved my hearing of LeConte sparrows and things like that by an order of magnitude. The tragedy is that even an order of magnitude isn't that much based on how much I'd lost already. And in the article, I show how I used my husband, my iPhone with some bird recordings, and two 29-year-old birders, and we compared how far we each could hear things, and we used a Nikon rangefinder to find out exactly how far we were away. And I could actually hear LeConte sparrows as far and even further than the 29-year-olds when I used a different device. This was created by Lang Elliott, who did all the bird recordings like that cedar waxwing that I use. He has never had high-frequency hearing, and he created a device that in real time, while you're listening with these headphones on and just this little pocket-sized thing, it actually changes the frequency, lowers them so you can hear them.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't sound quite the same, but you can still identify them, and now you can hear them again, which, you know, I'm 64. I turned 64 last month, which is the threshold, according to the Beatles. For when you're, you know, so I'm officially the little old lady in tennis shoes now.
And you now have a new blog. It's called The Little Old Lady in Tennis Shoes, as a matter of fact. And that's going to focus on the needs of aging birders.
Yeah.
And that had to be, you know,
important. It's a dirty job, but someone had to do it. You know, how do you use binoculars and bifocals? You know, all these little things that you suddenly become more aware of, but every one of which affects young people, too.
Well, sure.
A lot of people lose their hearing for either having a garage band or something when they're younger.
Or going to concerts.
And vision. And, yeah, concerts are so much louder now than they used to be. And so there's all kinds of ways that we lose our hearing and stuff, and those are important things to think about.
Well, Oliver in Stevens Point has a question, so let's go there. Hi, Oliver. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
What have we got? What's on your mind?
Well, I just got a quick question about proper or recommended food for the birds in the central Wisconsin area. I live in Stevens Point, and I've set out all different kinds of food, you know, sunflowers, seeds, as well as suet and things like that. I just can't seem to attract a number of birds. I've set out a finch feeder, but that had some success. But am I just using the wrong combination of food, or what's the recommendation?
It's so tricky to get birds to discover the feeding station in the first place. Stevens Point has so much natural, wonderful habitat, and birds most collect, you know, at the feeders when they need the food, because a lot of their natural food sources are covered with snow and stuff. The finch feeders are wonderful when we have finches, but those are what you call an eruptive migrant. They don't always show up. And right now, redpolls are all over the place, but they're not showing up at feeders hardly at all yet, because they still have plenty of natural food. So if there's only one seed you are going to provide, sunflower would be the right, because the finches all eat that, plus a whole bunch of other birds. And it's really high in nutrition. White millet scattered on the ground by a brush pile or a nice little stand of shrubs is great for when we have the native sparrows migrating through, the white-throateds and the fox sparrows and stuff like that. And suet is great for woodpeckers. Sometimes they get picky about which suet you use, though. The ones in my yard do. They love peanut butter. Peanut butter actually seems to bring more birds to my, you know, my suet feeders. My woodpeckers go to peanut butter before they go to suet.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Oliver. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Laura Erickson, having a lot of fun talking with her about the birds and the migrations, and zeroed in a little on her digital bird song hearing aids. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. And one of the guys that I always enjoy talking to is Rob Ferret of Wisconsin Public Radio. And he comes by every once in a while. In fact, he's here right now to talk with you about how your support is so vital to all the programs on WPR. And we're here to ask for your gift right now. Here we are, the end of 2015. We look forward to starting 2016 strong. And you can help us make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, Rob, we still have that dollar-for-dollar match going, don't we?
We sure do, Larry. It's a great time to make that end-of-the-year pledge right now, because a very generous member, anonymous member of our 9XM Leadership Circle from OMRO, is going to double every dollar you give. That's up to $2,500. We're just shy of $5,000. 100 right now. So that means you pledge 50. Hey, it counts double. It's 100. You give 100, 200, and so on. Make that pledge. Double the impact of that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying that conversation today with Laura Erickson, our bird expert. And I think this program is an example of the interesting and informative conversations we have on this show.
Interesting and informative and really useful, too. I mean, people are coming away with advice they could put into action this afternoon. They could stop at the store on the way home from work and get the right kind of suet or maybe even that peanut butter, get it out there, and then, you know, do some social media to the bird community to try to get them to come in and find it. Right, maybe that's an exaggeration. And, of course, we have you're not getting the full picture with Laura. There's her executive birding consultant, Pip, in the studio with us, just nodding sagely at the appropriate time. If you appreciate this kind of useful advice on birding and all the other great conversations you hear every day with Larry, make a pledge and support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this year-end membership drive, we have a special thank you gift. Ask for food for 20 when you give $60 or food for 40 when you give $120.
And you can do that month by month. You can make that a $5 a month contribution or a $10 a month contribution. When you become a sustainer, it can be deducted from a credit card or your bank account. You get to pick. So make that monthly donation, support public radio. Sign on to that Food for 20 or Food for 40. You can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're very right about that. They do, and certainly we thank you for that.
But here's the thing. The biggest single part of our budget is you. It comes from listener donations. What is it, 40-ish percent, Larry? 40, they tell us. That you're a big deal. The contributions you make really make a difference. They really make radio happen. So because WPR matters to you, make your personal contribution to help pay for it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Imagine WPR without your support?
Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and it's All Things Political this hour with Joan Walsh from The Nation magazine. A big speech from the president last night addressing a joint session of Congress on the economy. Joan, how does the president intend to use his executive powers in this matter?
This is Mike, and I was brought on to talk about consumer electronics.
Great radio production has a cost.
So, Mike, what did you think of the speech?
Well, the teleprompter was working.
Help make great radio with your gift today.
Joan Walsh, thanks for joining us.
Kathleen, it's so much fun to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. We'll talk about...
Together, we're Wisconsin Public Radio.
But let's begin the program with what we're doing.
And I hope you will make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Rob Ferret asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end membership drive. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
This has probably happened to you. You've thought, you've heard something maybe on Larry's show, maybe on Central Time. Little plug there.
Yeah.
Or all the other shows, you've thought, I got to tell so-and-so about this, a family member, a friend, somebody you have arguments with, you name it. We have worked really hard at WPR to make it easy to pass that on with our program notes on our website. And this is great, audio archives. You really can pass on the original real deal. Maybe you already do that.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay connected with others. You're passing on your ideas, stories, and information that you like and enjoy. And we help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world, I think. And your donation, hey, it keeps it coming.
And so you can make your pledge so you can keep doing that on into the future. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member. From Amro, your gift of $50, it turns into $100. right now, you could give us $1,000 and it turned into $2,000, as a matter of fact. Take advantage of that right now. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Jerry and Luann from Green Bay. They say they pledged now because food for 20 is a great gift. A matching gift is a great time to give. And they say they listen to WPR every day at work. That's right. Thank you, Jerry and Luann. Their gift is matched. They sign up for the Food for 20 contribution. And they supported public radio, the radio they listen to every day at work. Now, how about you? Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us finish strong in 2015 so we can continue to bring you the programs that you've come to rely on. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Laura Erickson, birding expert extraordinaire. Great to have her along. I think her latest book, she has 8 books out. Her latest is Into the Nest, Family Lives of Familiar Birds, and we've talked with her about it in the past. It's a a lovely book, and it's great to have her on to talk about maybe a little about the book and also about the birds that you're seeing out there or questions that you might have. Janet in Eau Claire has a question, I think, about bird baths. Let's go there. Janet, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just wanted information about heating my bird bath so there's water for the birds during the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few different kinds available. Some of the bird baths themselves now are, you know, have come with a plug, and you can buy these plates that, you know, are wired and go to an electric outlet and stuff. I never use them myself because I put out a bowl of water in the feeder right against my window, and when ice forms, I bring it in for the day, and the birds figure it out and come for a drink. But they always have supplies of water in winter. They do eat snow. They love coming to bird baths, though. It is a great attractant for birds. I think that the use of electricity, to me, the carbon footprint of that isn't worth it. But some of my friends just swear by them and really get a lot of great birds because of their heated bird baths. So I can't say it's a bad idea. Do keep it clean. And if any birds are actually bathing in it, close it down or cover it with dowels so they have to just reach in their head to get a drink and they can't immerse their bodies. You don't want, well, today it wouldn't matter at all.
Yeah.
But when it's 20 degrees or 10 degrees outside, you do not want ice forming on their feathers when they take off.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. It's really good information. And Gemma, thanks again for that question. Kellen Sugar Camp has a question for you, Laura. Hi, Kel. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering about winter houses. I remember when my parents lived in Janesville, south of town, and we realized that the former owner had built a winter house for the birds to sleep in at night in winter, and it's probably saved a lot of bird lives. I was wondering if anybody makes winter houses or if you have directions on how to make winter houses.
I think there are some winter roost house directions. I know there's lots of them online, but I think some might be available through Cornell. And regular birdhouses work just fine, too. A lot of things use our birdhouses in winter when people leave them out, including mammals, flying squirrels and, you know, white-footed mice and stuff. So, It's a nice thing to do, and sometimes they use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And they would have their best insulation if you fill them with wood shavings. Make sure they're clean wood shavings, not from wood products that may mm-hmm. have various adhesives in them. But like chickadees prefer nesting in a box that they've at least excavated a little. They're like the Bob Vilas of the bird world. They like to feel like they did it themselves. But that would also provide more insulation for other birds that are using that as a winter roost.
Thanks again, Kel, for calling. Katie in Sun Prairie, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
I just purchased my first home in Sun Prairie in the city and have a very, very small city lot. But I was wondering if you could suggest a shrub or plant that would make the biggest impact on my small piece of property that would bring in as many birds as possible.
Well, different plants will provide things at different times of year. So one isn't going to be that enormous. But if you're just going to have one, I would strongly recommend something like service berries or June berries. Cedar waxwings, love those. You will get, they will fill it. And that'll be guaranteed. But they'll only fill it until they've eaten all the berries, and then it'll be, you know, just another tree. They come as trees and as shrubs, so you have to be careful which you're getting.
Which you get, and if it's only going to be one. If you've got room for more than one, there's a the UW Extension has a publication called Landscape Plants That Attract Birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty good little publication.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Go online to the Learning Store, UW Extension Learning Store, and you can, I think you can get it, it's either free or, well, you can certainly look at it for free right on the, right online, so.
Great, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks
sure.
a lot for
Good
calling.
Good luck.
And Jim in Oconomowoc, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I don't know if you've talked about eagles yet, but yesterday, I think it was in the paper, or my wife read something that Wisconsin's it now has the greatest number of active eagle nests that they've ever had. And since they've been taking this statistic, it was done by an aerial count. And I have a cabin up in Chautauqua, and I will tell people that if they want to see eagles, you go up to the Eau Claire area or anywhere north, and you can see them in abundance. They are everywhere. And during the hunting season, I was out, and some of the water was just starting to freeze over some of the lakes, but I saw many, many eagles. So if anybody's interested, you can see eagles in Wisconsin, and thank goodness they're coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing great, and a lot of hunters do get to see them. It's nice when hunters remember that eagles are very vulnerable to lead, and if you use non-lead as your, you know, when you're deer hunting, that will be so helpful for bald eagles.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Sue in Pulaski wondered, when's the best time to clean out birdhouses, and how often should you do it?
Well, if you're using your birdhouse as a winter roost, then you're leaving it out all winter, and you want to clean it out before the bluebirds get back in spring. So maybe end of February, unless it's still really frigid, it would be a good time. Many people bring them in for the winter. They don't want squirrels to be expanding the holes and stuff like that. And then you just clean it out during the winter, and then, you know, when you bring it in, and then put it out in early spring.
And that hole size makes a big difference. I know I was talking to somebody once about bluebird houses, and he's, you know, he said if you get a hole too big, and he said we call those bird houses owl feeders.
And it's not, well, sometimes saw-whet owls will even use them if the hole gets big enough. But meanwhile, starlings can get into them if the hole is too big. And that's, we're just talking a quarter or a half an inch. And I can't remember the exact number for how many millimeters across it's supposed to be. But you can get that online from the North American Bluebird Society.
Yeah, and the important thing is that, it, I tell you what, it's got to be pretty close to accurate. I mean, you need to, you don't want to be too small or too big.
Right. If it's too small, the bluebirds can't get in, and if it's too big, the starlings can.
Talking with Laura Erickson today, the author of 8 bird books, and she's served as an editor of BirdScope magazine for the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. It's always so great to have her come by and talk with us about birding, and it's always great to have Rob Ferret come by, too. He adds quite a note of levity sometimes and earnestness when he talks with you and with me about supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's so important as we end this year and look forward to 2016.
And I'll say earnestly and with a bit of levity, don't know if you can do both at the same time. But this is true. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. We're marching toward that. Still about $700 to go. That means it's a great time to pledge because an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member from AMRO is going to double every dollar you give till we hit that goal.
It's a way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Today's show is a great example of why you listen to The Larry Mueller Show. Lots of great information from an incredibly knowledgeable guest. And you've probably picked up on this from time to time, and we know this behind the scenes. Larry Mueller, he knows a thing or two as well. And he's a companion. He's a guy you get to spend time with each and every day, 11 to 12:30. This is one of a kind, people. There's nothing else like this in the radio world. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. And it only happens because of your support, your contributions, your pledges to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, you can give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs you love possible, of course. And then you can ask for food for 20 when you give $60. Or food for 40 when you give $120.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. Do two good things with your gift to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Marcy from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. First of all, the word obsessed has been used with public radio. I've been listening to nothing but public radio for probably upwards of 20-some years. When I made a transition moving back to Wisconsin after being gone for 20-some years, it was a great way for me to sort of get back to what was going on, feeling involved. It was a great connection, and I think that's probably the word that I think of the most. I feel very connected when I'm listening to public radio. I'm a sustaining member because I don't have to think about it. Well, first of all, it's so easy. I don't have to do anything. I wish all my bills could just magically be paid that way. And although it's not a bill for what it gives back to me, it is something that I'm willing to pay for. It enriches my life. It's invaluable to me, so I'm happy to give back.
And I hope you'll pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret. Asking for your support of WPR during our membership drive, and maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Here's the thought. Is WPR worth $4 a day to you? Well, if so, consider being a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. So these 9XM members, they're listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. That works out to a little less than $4 a day.
If you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the past year, you might consider a contribution that puts you in that 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we've got Pip here today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Laura brought her little doggy Pip, and she is the cutest little thing. And you know what? She kind of barked to me. She said, "People should give one for the Pipper."
I heard that. I did hear
she
that.
She growled it. Give one for the Pipper. Well, at least that's what, Laura, that's what you told me.
Yep, that's how I heard it.
that's how I heard it, too. And if you would like to support Wisconsin Public Radio and give one for the Pipper, I hope you'll go ahead and do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have a picture of Pip up on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, right, so you can see who we're talking about here. Pledge because you appreciate the great conversations, the great information you get from Larry and his guests each and every weekday here on the Ideas Network. Make your pledge now. Still time to take advantage of that challenge match. So looking for another $600 before we take full advantage. There's just a
and
few
we're
minutes
running
to do
out of
that.
Time. Yeah. We're running out of time.
Here. Make that pledge now at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
You can listen to WPR every day for years and you'll never get a bill We don't count how many minutes you listen. We don't put a meter on your radio.
Purely the honor system. You decide you want to give. You volunteer. You step up to do it. It's up to you, though. It's your decision.
And remember, again, whether it's a dollar a week or a dollar a day, you get to decide. Go to WPR.org with that decision. Or you can go to 888-202-2552, make that phone call, and make your contribution.
We heard from a listener in Oak Creek who says, love, love, love the Larry Mueller Show, especially Wednesdays. Thanks to all of you at WPR. Thank you so much. Well, do you love, love, love the Larry Mueller Show? Or do you even add more loves than that? Well, it's worth something to you. That's what it means. And you can help pay for it. You can help make it happen. You can be part of the Larry Mueller team right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that dollar-for-dollar match. It's really important to make our goal because...
I think we'll do it.
It's $2,500. Well, we haven't done it yet. It's $2,500, and we're at around $1,900. So we still have $600 to go in the next probably what 2 minutes, three, mm-hmm. two mm-hmm. or 3 minutes.
We keep calling through the news too.
Yeah, we keep going through the news.
We'll count it there.
So if you've been thinking about it, now is the time to go ahead and make your contribution. And you do that by going to WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Help us hit that challenge. We're just talking for a few more seconds. Still time. Get to the computer, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
I make my contribution. I hope you make your contribution, too. Again, WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, there are more than 85 million Americans who are fascinated with bird watching. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And you may be one of the many. Larry Mueller here again. Our guest, Laura Erickson, who's a bird lover and knows so much about birds. She's authored 8 bird books and has served as an editor of BirdScope magazine and with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. So it's wonderful to have her with us. And if you have a question, I hope you'll join in. At 800-642-1234, email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we do have quite a few posts of one sort or another here. So, Laura, I want to go through some of those. We had a comment from Roger in Spring Green, and we talked earlier about sandhill cranes. And someone called in to talk about how they were circling and circling. And our caller, Roger in Spring Green, says they may have been riding a thermal to gain altitude when they were heading south.
Yeah, you can pick up thermals anywhere where the ground is a little bit warmer than the surrounding ground. And if there's any snow on the ground and you have one open field or a highway, that's a great place for birds to pick up a thermal, and they circle. It's ambiguous because they're also, as they're migrating through, feeding. And that's what they do in cornfields and sometimes in soybean fields. So we're not 100% sure what they were doing, but the fact that they were heading south afterward, yeah, they were picking up a thermal. That's what they migrate on. They don't want to flap all the way south, so they pick days when there's good thermal development over fields.
An email question from Mary. We live in Marinette on the shore of Green Bay and have had a great blue heron hanging around. Today he was out fishing. Seems like this is a bit late in the year for herons this far north in the Green Bay area.
It is, but sometimes some individuals do stick around while the water stays open. With young birds, it can kind of be inexperience and not really knowing what they're doing. But some adult birds, when things stay open as they are right now, will just wait it out. And when their fishing area freezes over, they'll leave. The one that we used to watch in Sapsucker Rebecca Woods at the Cornell Lab was an identifiable individual, and he would sometimes leave surprisingly late after there was already quite a bit of ice on the pond, and he would come back very early, and we knew it was that individual.
Liked it. He liked it there.
But there's also another outlier bird. Somebody's getting a brown thrasher, Mary.
Yes.
In Oshkosh, has had a brown thrasher. She thinks he needs a ticket south.
That's in the Oshkosh area.
Yeah, they prefer airmail, I guess. But, yeah, brown thrasher is one species that we do occasionally have outliers in Wisconsin. Same with great blue heron.
Yeah.
But it is exceptional, and it's very exciting if you happen to be the one who discovers it.
And, you know, Connie commented that we were talking about what plants attract birds. She says, birds love evergreens. They're all over my yard, and birds are all over my yard, too.
Yeah, evergreens, depending, really dense shrubs are great places for house sparrows to be roosting, and they're really noisy within them. But many birds use various conifers for hiding out, for both for eating from the cones in good years for seed production, but also for shelter.
It's fun, as I would do a little 3-mile jog in the morning and walk in the morning, and I'll go by some of those bushes that are, I know, filled with house sparrows, and they'll be really noisy. And as I get to they shut off as a group.
Yeah.
And then I'm going, I'm by a little ways, and then I hear them start up again. It's really fun, a lot of fun. Dawn in Broadhead, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. We're having problems with a little woodpecker that likes our cedar siding.
Oh.
Is there anything that we can put on the site, paint on the siding that makes it taste bad, or how can we stop the damage?
They're not tasting the siding. What they're doing is pecking into it to get bugs beneath the siding. And so the only permanent solution is to get rid of the bugs. Meanwhile, if you want to scare them away, the most effective way I know for scaring birds away is with balloons. Make sure they're well hooked to the building somehow, but if they're floating right in the area where birds want to be, they don't understand balloons for some reason.
Okay.
But also covering them an area with burlap that feels yucky to them and to their feet, and that can often be a deterrent. Filling the holes, and Cornell has done a lot of research in woodpecker damage and siding, and they have a whole web page about it. And if you just Google search Cornell Lab of Ornithology woodpeckers siding damage, you'll find
the page. You'll get a lot.
Okay.
More than
you
want.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dawn. Thanks
sure.
a lot for calling.
Good luck.
Gail in Ottawa, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey there, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a unique issue. I have 5 trapezoidal windows, quite large windows, on the southeast exposure of my home. And I have crows that come and peck on the windows violently, and also they're pecking out the caulking around the frame of the windows. And I'm at a wit's end of how to prevent that from happening. And it seems like they know when we're not home.
Yeah, it's. I wish your problem was unique. I'm hearing more and more from people with crows attacking caulking on windows and windshield wipers, and I have no idea what the attraction is. And it seems to be a fairly recent discovery in various populations of crows that this is a fun thing to do. As I said to the previous caller, a lot of birds, and corvids are among them, are scared of helium balloons.
Okay.
And, you know, you want to make sure that they're affixed so that they're not going to float off into the atmosphere and kill a bird somewhere else.
Right.
But that may help get them to avoid it. I'm not sure what you can cover it with that would keep crows at bay. It's really a bizarre thing that is fairly new, so there aren't really good plans for
how to leave? Pondered all kinds of solutions, and, you know, it's really hard to try and repair a caulk on a window and make it look like the original.
Right. Yeah.
But I went to one of the big box stores and bought some of these glue traps that you use for mice and larger rodents. And I thought, if I put one of those on the window ledge and that crow stepped on it, it would stick to his feet and he would get mad and wouldn't come back. But I don't know if...
Oh, those are really dangerous for birds, though.
Yeah.
And it's not... I mean, the crow could actually get his whole body contorted, and it's a really awful way to die. So, and then it's really sticky, so you're going to be stuck with a mess, too. So I think this will cause you more problems than it would solve. But I'm trying to think of other things that would feel really yucky to the birds to make them leave, and burlap sometimes does work. But that sticky stuff is so dangerous to any chickadee who just touches it is a goner.
Yeah.
Well, I've never, ever seen smaller birds up at these windows. This is a story above the ground where these windows are.
Yeah.
And, we just don't get small birds up there. But, you know, the aesthetics are the issue as well, because these are picture windows and we like looking out. So anything that we put out there...
Yeah, it's going to be... could be an issue, but I like the balloons.
Yeah, at least see if that doesn't send them away. Get them interested in some other vandalism project.
Yeah, because if you can once get them going somewhere else... then your problem may be solved and you can take the balloons down.
Yeah, the balloons don't have to be up there permanently.
They don't have to be there forever, Gail.
And you don't need a lot of them. When I was rehabbing birds, if I just had a balloon floating around the room when I had my education bird sneakers, she just would not go into that room with there was a balloon. When my kids had birthday parties, forget it. She was out of there.
Thanks again, Gail. Brian in Cedarburg, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hi. On the same note about woodpeckers pecking on the house, I've got another situation I'm going to comment on, too. Perhaps people shouldn't be feeding the birds if they're going to have damage to their house. They're inviting these problems to come in. I had a neighbor also that told me he was putting rat poison outside because the mice were getting into his house because they're attracted to all the bird seed on the ground outside. So with rat poison outside and killing mice, they're going to be picked up by raptors such as hawks and eagles and owls. Talk to any bird rehabber, and they'll tell you they get birds in all the time, poisoned with rat poison from people putting rat poison outside.
Yeah, if people are going to attract birds, they really have to be mindful of all the issues involved with having birds in your yard. The problem with cedar siding is not a problem of bird feeders, because many of the people who have contacted me with those problems do not have bird feeders. And many of them live in the woods where nobody near them has bird feeders. But birds, if they hear, and they have extraordinary hearing. So if you have trees anywhere near your house and you have a woodpecker, it can hear chewing in the wood in the house. So
their ears are that, or their hearing is that good?
Yeah.
Wow. Brian, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email question from Dawn in New London. Has a flocks of small black and white belly birds with very distinctive yellow beaks, about the size of chickadees, maybe a tad larger. I cannot find these birds anywhere on the internet, although I have found blogs where people are asking about them, even in Canada.
Snow buntings?
I wonder. Maybe.
It could be snow bunting. Well, the yellow beaks, red poles have, but
yeah.
I would think you'd notice the red forehead.
Yeah, you'd think. So if you're not noticing the red forehead, snow bunnings?
Oh, starlings.
Well, starlings, too, but starlings are quite
bellies,
a bit bigger.
And they don't have white bellies.
They don't have white bellies.
But they have yellow beaks. Yeah, interesting.
Well, there's, you know.
But like I said, red poles do have yellow beaks, so, but it, I wouldn't call it all that distinctive, so I'm not sure.
Safa, one other question. Rebecca wonders, or says that she's heard that cardinals like safflower, and chickadees seem to like it too. Is that one?
Chickadees sometimes learn to like safflower. Cardinals are the ones that usually like it. Many people put out safflower when they want to attract cardinals but want to dissuade everything else. The problem is, as she said, when other birds do come in, they just push things, the safflower around trying to find the good stuff. So it's a... They have bird brains. What do you think?
And speaking of good stuff, Laura Erickson provides a lot of good stuff, a lot of good information when she comes by to visit. Today she's got her dog Pip along, who is just, Pip is just a lovely little dog and so nice. It's been sitting right next to the microphone for the whole program and has done a wonderful job. Another guy who does a wonderful job is Rob Ferret, and he's back to tell you that you should pledge right now during our year-end membership drive. Join in, help at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I've been really good too, Larry. I mean, through this whole time, I've been sitting here, and you've only heard me bark, what, 3-4 times, I think, in the last hour and a half.
I didn't have to let you out at all.
No, no. It's been a lot of fun having Pip. Actually, Larry, Pip's been napping. I think when you mentioned her name, she just opened her eyes. Very cute. Check out a picture of Pip, the bird consultant, on Larry Mueller's Facebook page, Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And hey, by the way, help pay for conversations like the one you just heard with your contribution. Looking for 8 more pledges in the next 10 minutes or so? Make your donation now to support the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've had a lot of fun talking today with Laura Erickson, our birding expert, and I bet you've enjoyed that conversation as well. And I think it's a great example of a program that is informative, it's substantial, and sometimes a little quirky, the conversations we have.
And now take a few minutes to make this program and all the other programs here on the Ideas Network possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving, and you can do two things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs you rely on, and you can ask for the Food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
These thank you gifts are going to provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift, your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we moved to Wisconsin in 1976, one of the special things about moving to Wisconsin, which I hadn't anticipated, was that Wisconsin Public Radio is such a terrific treasure for Wisconsin. We got hooked. So as far as I'm concerned, there's really only one radio station. If you ask me to find some other station, I don't think I could find it, because I just listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Why would you go anywhere else?
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge during our year-end fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret asking your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $15 or $20. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And I should let people know, if they've been listening for a while, good news. Don't want to leave you hanging. We did meet that challenge by the end of last hour. Thank you so much if you made a contribution that helped us do that. However, by the end of Larry's show today, we have another goal. We need 10 pledges total. We need 8 more to get there. You can help us do that. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I tell you what, you get a lot of great information from this program. And, you know, you might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertained and information all month long.
Well, think about listening to Larry and the rest of the shows here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You're getting entertainment. You're getting information. You're getting the news. You're really staying on top of the world, being informed and having fun along the way. So cable's maybe worth something to you. Well, I think WPR is worth something to you. Become a sustaining member. Make a monthly contribution, if you can, at the 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this half-hour time break, someone did call in with a $1,000 contribution. So
wow.
A wonderful
Fantastic.
Contribution. And thank you so much for that. And we still have seven more contributions to get this. What about you? It's time. If you've been thinking about it, think about some of the regular guests that we've had on the program. Peter Green helps with computers. PJ Leash talks about insects. Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert.
There's birds, as we heard today. You get great information about pets from time to time with Sandy Sawchuk. So many people you count on. And, of course, Larry himself, you count on his knowledge and his personality every day at this time. You get great info, info you can use from these guests and so many others. Pleasure to have them on with us. It's your contribution, though, that makes it possible. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for seven pledges in the next 4 minutes or so. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really makes a difference.
You know, you pay for stuff that improves your quality of life. The coffee, maybe a good Wisconsin beer, a dinner out at the local restaurant. I just saw you at our local restaurant last night, Larry.
As a matter of fact, you did, and we had a good time. Your WPR listening, I hope, is a good time for you. I thought it's just like the other things that are worth paying for. It makes your life richer. Support what's important to you with your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Down to six.
Six more pledges. And hey, maybe you've never given before or you've listened along, so there's something you don't know. You don't know that making that first pledge feels really good. It makes you feel like you are, because you are part of the team here at WPR.
Put your money where your values are when you make your first ever pledge of $5 a month or whatever amount, $10 a month or maybe $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You got some options, real easy choices to make. You can make your year-end gift by becoming a sustainer, setting up an ongoing monthly donation, or you can pay your pledge, boom, all in one lump sum. You choose how to make that gift. The important thing is that you make that gift right now at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
And you might have donated a few years ago, feel like you've done your part, but you still enjoy listening to WPR year after year. Your continued support is what keeps us going.
That's right. If it's been a while since you've donated, it's a great time to give again. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we will be glad to have you back.
We have six more pledges to go. Adorno from Onalaska said, I listen to WPR every day, all day, whether it's this particular program or Kathleen Dunn. Wait, don't tell me. The daily news from NPR. I always feel well-informed and wonderfully entertained.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for that. And if you feel that way, I hope you'll join us right now. We have to go away here in just a couple of seconds. So there's still time for you to contribute, and you can do it in one of two ways. You can go to WPR.org and make your contribution there, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552. If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't yet, you still have some time to do it during this program. 1-800-888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Please contribute.